Atlantic Menhaden. That's the first time those words have been said here in a few decades, I think. So we're talking about Menhaden regulations.
Okay.
Here?
Yeah. Menhaden has, there's been a lot that's been going on for a couple of years. I'm sure members on the commission have heard various reports. I'm sure some members on the commission I know have been ensconced in Menhaden issues, and others are hearing some things that happened since December 14th. So December 14th, 2012, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission met, and the whole Amendment 2 process that took an extra long time to get ready, it was over a year, it really was all about this. It was reducing total allowable landings by 20%. And what the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission did was base that 20% reduction on a three-year average, 2009 through 2011. And they did it as a coastwide basis. So they did it from 470 million plus pounds. So what the ASMFC really did applied to the coast as a whole, taking a 20% reduction. You can find out a little bit about this. This is still being talked about a little bit, this episodic event. That was also subtracted from the full amount of the landings and set aside for states that it was thought, and the ASMFC is still talking about it, to try and figure it out, that on a 10-year period, we'll just use 10-year period, all of a sudden in Maine, there is an episodic event of menhaden abundance, and they should be allowed to harvest them. It's limited to those states which have less than 1% of this total allowable landings, but at the same time, you're going to see in a minute, there's only three states who aren't less than 1%. So Virginia, the important state, had 85% of the total allocation of this coastwide quota after it was cut by 20%. And that means the Virginia 2013 and 14, this is only in effect for 2013 and 2014, the legislation we're going to talk about sunsets January 1, 2015. The legislation we'll talk about is considered emergency. It's gone the whole route. It just needs the governor's signature, which is imminent, and then it's in effect. And in fact, landings are already accruing against our 318 million as of January 1 of 2013, even though all the legislation didn't get finished. So when you look at what happened after that from this 318 million pounds, it was very interesting. Because the ASMFC chose a three-year average for the coast, but they left it to the states. Once they took the 20%, there was an option where they could make it state-specific. States determine their own destiny here. And in Virginia, what was chosen was a 10-year average, and that actually went into the legislation from the House and the Senate, a 10-year average period 2002 through 2011. In the negotiations for what the industry wanted to do, there were six options. So there was a three-year option, there was a 10-year option, there was a five-year option, there was a three out of seven, there was a three out of ten, and I think there was a seven. So there were six things to look at. And the problem with negotiations are that you have three main groups. You have the per seine reduction, you have Omega, and you have the per seine bait sector, which is the smaller per seines. They are landing their fish for menhaden for fisheries purposes to be used as bait, not for reduction. And then you have what's called the non-per seine bait sector, which you're familiar with as pound net, gill net, gears that typically are out there and have some bycatch, some amount of menhaden. So all the negotiations that took place among industry members were difficult for them because where one of the six scenarios may have given advantage to one of the sectors, or maybe even two of the sectors, there was really no clear-cut situation where one of those six ways of allocating within the state advantaged all three. You know, someone was going to take the hit. And so ultimately, by the time the legislation was already underway, the 10-year average was chosen. And you can see that most of that, 90%, is for Omega. A little over 8%, almost 8.5% for the persane bait reduction, and 1.58% for the non-bait. Down here, you can see what that is in pounds. 286 million, 26 million for the persane bait sector, and 5 million for the non-persane bait sector. Now, next month, staff will have additional information to show you, but today, we wanted to make sure that even though in your evaluation it's essentially all about the legislation and what the commission or commissioner, based on that legislation, will be having to charge to do, we did want to give you some of the background. So a little more background. You can see pretty clearly Virginia, but you can see the other states. And if you look closely, it's really only New Jersey and Maryland, which are the other two states with greater than 1%. And that's why, even at the ASMSC last week, there was still confusion, still discussion on this episodic event, this 1%, because you've got a lot of states who, you know, what are they going to do if they're on 1%? Are they all going to declare an episodic event? So graphically, you can see, you know, why Virginia at the Baltimore meeting was the only no vote for Amendment 2, because Virginia has a lot at stake in all three fisheries. And this will help compound the problem if you're in the industry, because here you have that the ASMFC used 2009 through 2011 as the basis, and that's 372, almost 373 million pounds. So, you know, you're up here by the cursor somewhere. Well, 2012, even though it's preliminary, is going to end up even more than the three-year average. So now you have industry members who the 20% is difficult enough, but they're also reflecting on, you hear about investments in business and everything they did for 2012, it's even a more bitter pill to swallow going from what they did in 2012 for 2013 and 14. And here is the 2013 and really 2014 allocation for both years, the 318 million. So today, what we need to do, and I certainly hope that Mr. Kugelman and the commissioner will help along, because even though this is the bills themselves that you have seem straightforward, the one thing staff wants to leave with here today is the understanding that there should be a broad advertisement that will capture all the specifics that the commission and the commissioner have to do, but we want to make sure that we leave the ability for the regulation that we're going to have to present to the commission to include anything that is automatically required by this legislation, that even if it's a small detail, that if we missed it, we want to make sure that the advertisement can encompass that. And that's something that... So in your packet, what you have is the legislation, and staff focused on the House Bill 2254. And so what I want to do, is to go through that. In your packet, what you find is that it's done in a line basis, and someone behind me is going to have to hand me the Menhaden. Here it is. Here it is. Okay. We're okay. So you have this. You have the bill for the House.
Rob, just if I may, Commissioner.
Sure.
Does the package, the bill in the package, have the governor's amendment?
That's going to be part of what you are presented with.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. So it did not, because it was done before the governor's amendment. And I will get to that. So what I thought is, in your evaluation, you do have, starting out with the page that has the issues, you have lines 140 and 46. In the House bill version, they're identical to the Senate bill, identical legislation. So I have here lines 140 to 142 and 158 to 160. It's to establish the total allowable landings by sector. And if you look at that information, what you see is that's definitely law. So if we start with, and I'm going to flip to it. If we start with 140 in the House bill, total allowable landings, you can see pretty clearly that that's done by law. So that part is done in the Code of Virginia.
I think they're the same.
At the same time,
there's a House Bill ER and a Senate Bill ER. I'm not familiar with House Bill.
At the same time, they are the same. They just are offset by a few lines, I think, from the House Bill. But what I would ask to start out, because it'll set the tone for the advertisement, it's the code that's going to set this 144,272.84 metric ton total allowable landings. At the same time, if you go to line 143, if those are exceeded in any year, they will be reduced by the overage. So my question for several of these items are, often in a regulation, we incorporate language from the code that also has some relationship to what the commission or commissioner is going to do. And I think that's what I'm asking about now. and I think that can be solidified next month. But I think for the purpose of the advertisement, we want to make sure we capture all that. And I'm hoping that makes a little bit of sense.
If I may respond, Commissioner? If I'm hearing you right, Rob, basically all that needs to happen is, you're right, the code is going to set forth the scope of the commission's authority, and as long as we're operating inside the wiggle room that we're given from the code, we're fine. Turning to advertising and regulation, I mentioned to the commissioner in his ear just a minute ago, I'm happy to set a time to come to VMRC and we can sit down instead of trying to do this over the phone and over emails and work on it together and get it teed up properly and get her out. If that's all right.
Conversely, I'm happy to drive up to Richmond. So
careful what you offer.
But either way, that's a great offer, because this is not your typical situation. I mean,
correct.
This is a very,
huge. This
very
is a huge issue for Virginia.
And so what I've tried to do here on the slide is to get, I just talked about that first area. It's all about the total allowable landings. If you go to 158, it's another code, it's law, that will say it's going to be allocated among these three sectors.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be the commission that is going to, in regulation, say what those sectors shall have as far as amounts.
I think you're exactly right there. The code speaks to how it's divided based on average landings 2002 to 2007.
Right.
The regulation should specify the actual poundage amount right. for each sector. I think that's the easiest and clearest
Good.
Way to do it.
Okay.
Isn't
so we'll keep moving just a little bit, because I know that after 2000, you know, it may take a little time,
here,
but
yeah.
I hope not a lot.
Because you're talking about, so there is a little bit more restriction in there.
Right.
When we establish a limited entry bait license and ITQ, so if you could look at 131 to 139 in the legislation itself, you'll see that starting with 131, it does talk about a limited entry per seine license, and it leaves it up to the commission. So that's something that we'll have to address directly. And by the time you're to line 134, it's the requirements that'll be in the regulation, you know, that you have to have met those requirements for those 3 years. And so there's something that's definitely for the commission directly. And then 165 to 170, I tried to keep this in a sequence that sort of matched what has to be done. 165 to 70 is talking about the per seine menhaden bait licensee. So that's one of the three sectors. There are four vessels, by the way, as I said in the evaluation, or staff said in the evaluation, in that fishery, in that sector. And this indicates about the daily landings reports, and certainly that's something that we're going to have in the regulation. So that's sort of the sequence of events there. The second part relates to the commissioner. If you look at line 171, it's when the commissioner projects and announces. Now, that is law, but the commissioner shall monitor. That's also law, but here's where in a regulation we would typically say something about that, I would think, just so that the constituency knows how that's going forward. And now that I have that nice offer from Mr. Kugelman, my pulse rate's way down.
Good service, sir.
191 to 196, it's the commissioner, and we're going to have to advertise that that's possible for the commissioner to do, that it can be reopened. It's not likely. That scenario is not very likely if we're tracking the quota, but we do have to have ways to track the quota, and that's why that is in there in particular. If you go to 199 to 201, at least for enforcement purposes, this is in the code, and you know that may be something that's strictly law. In other words, an officer, a Marine police officer, could charge someone for a violation and go to court under the authority that's right there on the Class 1 misdemeanor. So that's something that's probably not to worry about. 203 to 206, the landings reports again, and this is something that we'll talk about a little bit later, Mr. Kugelman, but I think it's a requirement by law, and what's really going to happen is that two of the sectors, the reduction sector and the per seine, menhaden per seine for bait sector, we are going to be getting those reports directly from National Marine Fisheries. They're called CDFR, Captain Daily Fisheries Reports. However, on the non-per seine bait, so this is the pound net, gill net, haul seine, the gears that you're traditionally more familiar with, we will have to go to Chapter 610 and make some changes in there as far as the requirements go for reporting. But essentially, they'll be reporting very similarly to or anyone else who is harvesting and having to fill out the daily reports. There may be a few little changes about what they have to say. The biological sampling requirements, line 231 to 235. So the law is saying establish this sampling program to collect 10 fish per 200. Again, that's something that is in law, but certainly something that staff was thinking about earlier today is that we're also charged with establishing a pound net survey index. And right now, The commission has nothing to require that there's individual pound net reports. So if you're a pound netter and you have 3, 4, 5, 2 pound nets, you aren't required to just report by each pound net. And staff has already started to single out the few individuals that have reported by single pound net to try and look about this adult index, which is part of the charge from ASMFC to develop this pound net survey index. It's really a survey of adults. And the only way that staff can think that that's going to be accomplished is if we do say something in the regulation that you'll be required to report on an individual pound net basis. Because without that, there's going to be no way to develop an index.
How does a fish trap operator, a pound net operator, do that? I mean, if he's got 2 pound nets side by side, he fishes one, throws the fish in the bottom of the boat, goes to the next and throws the fish in the bottom of the boat, you've got a mixed pool there.
Yeah.
How is he going to determine what came from net A and what came from net B?
Well, fishermen say they pretty much know what's on their boat, and so it would have to be a little qualitative, but it's going to be better than just lumping them both and saying, I can't do it. I mean, something has to be done to get that index. If we're lucky, there's a number of individual nets that we can focus on. However, the good menhaden nets are further up the northwest part of the bay. So, you know, I think we have to wait and see on that, but I think we still have to talk about it and maybe, you know, maybe talk about next month as well. Now, if you don't mind turning to the Senate version, on line 158, at the end of the Senate version, if you're in the House version, it's a little different line segment. But the governor's amendment that Mr. Kugelman asked about is right here. So that if we look at the language change, it's talking about the idea of the total allowable landings. And it's saying at the last sentence at 158 that all these landings will have some tie-in or share of average landings through 2002 to 2011, the 10-year period, and in proportion to each gear-type landings within the non-purseine bait sector during that period. So what has occurred here is something that came from afar that no one was expecting. And there have been trawl vessels in the past that have landed menhaden in North Carolina, for example. If you look at our data, we had 350 pounds landed by trawl, and that was in 2002, and that's it. And so what became clear here, there was a move by industry to say, I'd like to bring in the trawl landings, and I can bring in probably 2.5 million with one vessel. And if we have another vessel involved, in other words, a Carolina vessel this time get involved, then you can pretty much count on 4, 4.5, 5 million. I mean, I'm not certain. It would be a pretty quick process. It really would have occurred soon. Late February it would have started. The problem with that is, if you recall earlier, I'm going to pretend I'm going to go to the right slide, but I didn't. If you recall earlier, the 5 million pounds is all that the non-directed fishery has. So it's right here. They have 5 million pounds. So that's for all those gears that you saw with the last slide, which are primarily pound net. And if the trawl fishery came in and by mid-March or late March landed close to that amount, you can imagine what that would mean to these fishermen, you know, those who are not operating the purse seine. So the governor did provide that amendment, and it's just waiting for signature, just like the two bills. And so, again, here really is what we're talking about. If you look at the gears, the gill net, the pound net, and the haul seine are principally the three. There's been no trawl fishery in Virginia since 1989. So I think you can appreciate that this was a really beneficial situation the governor enabled. This relates to the reporting. And I think in your evaluation, it talks about resolving at ASMSC the type of reports that are going to be required for the reduction fleet and the snapper rig bait or vessels. And when ASMSC passed Amendment 2, they had a list of things that had to be reported. And they're right here on the left. The problem is that the Captain's Daily Fishing Report, which you see here, is not geared towards that and is a long-standing tradition of how the reporting has gone once the boats get in Reedville and this data are tabulated, sent to the National Marine Fisheries Service in Beaufort, and now will be sent back to us. So some of these items are part of the CDFR that you see and will be part of the report. But the ASMSC last week was quite willing, with a little coaxing by the commissioner, to have the CDFR as the reporting requirement for those two sectors. Again, the third sector, the non-purse seine sector, will report along with the traditional mandatory reporting. So here's my broad brush, as the commission often talks about. Staff is requesting to advertise for a March public hearing all items required in House Bill 2254 and Senate Bill 1291 as part of new regulation 1270 and any amendments necessary to 610.
Which is the mandatory reporting, right?
Yes.
610. All right. Any questions, Ralph? Any comments? Hearing none. Any objection to moving forward with the public hearing?
No, sir.
All right. Hearing is approved.
Thank you.
It'll be an interesting process.